I've been preaching a little mini sermon series the last few weeks about, you know, really what I did on my summer vacation. The first one was really about how vacation opened my eyes and agitated me when I went with the youth group on their mission trip to the powers, almost the danger of faithfulness as we enter the political arena, and how Christ calls us to speak with great faith and power to the powers that be. The next week, I shared a story about the dangers of being faithful, of keeping faith when you just bump up against the unimaginable horrors of untimely death, when you're more aware of the absence of God than the presence of God. And today, it's a little bit different, but I want to talk about the dangers of vacation, about how to bring vacation home. How do we tap into a peace which allows us then to live well and to live powerfully and faithfully in the day-to-day? So the music, I hope, will sort of put you in a peaceful mind. And I ask you all just to take a big, deep breath and let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for this time as we kind of come to the end of summer. Maybe not by calendar, but at least by program. And we begin to set our sights towards the new adventures and new responsibilities, or taking on old responsibilities. Maybe some of us have never been able to leave this summer, and we're still sort of caught in just life with all its complexities. We need peace. We need freedom. We need wholeness. Help us to tap into that today and to be aware of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's been 3 weeks since my vacation ended. I was walking down the hallway of church on Monday, this past Monday, and saw Barb Cloud, and she asked me how I was doing. And I said, well, you know, Barb, I'll tell you the truth. I finally feel like I'm back home. And she said, oh, you're back in the old ruts, right? And so we laughed, sort of the same amount of chuckling as right there. I like to think of them rather as routines of work, patterns of behavior, paths of discipline that keep my life ordered so I'm not just spinning out and going all haywire. You know, you can't always be on vacation because it is in the day-to-day reality that life is lived and faith is honed, but I will say, boy, it's good to get away. Now, I want to say vacations are privileges. Not everyone gets one. Not everyone can afford one. And I try to remind myself of that always when I am away from you. But I'm not going to feel guilty. I just want to be aware. And I want to use this privilege as a way of recommitment, you see, to my life and to my work and to you. As St. Paul writes, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. Fair enough. Although every once in a while, I think it's perfectly okay to self-indulge. That was supposed to get a little laugh there. Come on. You can self-indulge a little bit. Okay. I have used my time to talk to you a little bit about the mission trip to District of Columbia. I talked about the experience in the airport in Baltimore on the way to Minnesota. And now I want to tell you a little bit about my beach trip. Jack, my son Jack and I were surf fishing. One evening and one night, we took turns. We rented a pole, and we bought our bait and all that, the tackle. And so we took turns wading into the surf about up to our waist and, like, casting this big, heavy line as far as we could into the surf. And on the end of the line is, like, a 3-pound weight, right, that really makes it zip out there. And then on the tackle are these two free-floating hooks that you put your bait on, and it just sort of floats there. And the weight, you see, holds it down into the surf. Our bait we were using were frozen shrimp that had been thawed from last night's dinner. And it worked. Because then we caught a fish that we used for bait. And we threw that out too. And on this wonderful, I think it was Friday morning, we saw this thing go down and it tugged. And it was all exciting. And after a grueling, like, 5-minute fight, but nevertheless, grueling, what we pull up is this great stingray. Ooh, you can say it. Ooh, I like that. All right. Very exciting. And we did release it, because what do you do with the stingray? It wasn't big enough. If you see it on my office wall, that would have been a little much. But it's the biggest thing I caught. But it's amazing what surf fishing does for you, because it makes you wonder what else is in that, you know, live ocean that you're swimming around in. And as Sarah reminded me, she says, "Dad, I'm really glad that the TBS special called Shark Week was on after we got home from the beach." Amen to that. But it was sublime. It was one of those moments of just being present. You know, just that sense of time standing still and just being present and active. It was wonderful. Later that same day, I'm taking one of those wonderful walks along the sand beside the surf, and I entered again that time of sort of pure wistfulness, the light in the moment. Felt very peaceful, in that sense, very free. I really did feel the shoulders droop. Moment of freedom. There's something about peace and freedom that work together, both in terms of social politics. You know, people who are free feel more peaceful, and people who are really working out a core of centered peacefulness and freedom sort of create communities of peace and freedom, or that's what I hope. But this was more spiritual and personal. Walking just in that moment, feeling part of the current of time in that second. It was marvelous. Everything sort of loose and suspended, kind of like the bait on that hook, except without the danger of being eaten. I wasn't worried about anything. What was happening at church, although I probably should have been, poor Clover, who, as you know, while I was enjoying my freedom, was facing several pastoral emergencies, a server breakdown, no printer, 100 plus degrees of temperature, and no Linda. I know. She didn't really care about me being away. It was Linda. That was the big thing. So tomorrow, Clover will return from vacation, hopefully refreshed and ready to continue her excellence among us. But I wasn't anxious about work, and I wasn't anxious about the new program you're starting. I wasn't anxious about the budget or Jack heading off to college, anything. It was just all good at that moment. And I'm walking on the beach that day, and I really am thinking about these verses that Kate read. You know, Christ set us free for freedom. And I was thinking about all those things that sometimes burden me and probably burden you, or maybe things that you are going through right at the moment that don't make you feel free, make you feel kind of enslaved and constricted and just sort of, ugh. I mean, freedom from sickness, freedom from the routine of sickness, freedom from a horrible job or from a relationship that is just hard. Freedom from oppression, freedom from servitude on a more sort of general level, freedom from poverty, freedom from worry, freedom from responsibilities, freedom from injustice and hate, freedom from partisan politics, amen, freedom from scarcity, maybe freedom from those internal recorded messages of guilt and obligation and unworthiness, set free from doubt and that constant cycle of elation and then anxiety. I mean, what do you want to be free from? And it made me think, what are you set free for? That's the way it is with the Spirit, I think, with Jesus Christ. It's both this release from, but of course it's a release for. So I was just thinking, you know, we're set free to serve others. We're set free to give generously. We're set free in Jesus Christ to really think broadly. We're set free in Jesus Christ to take risks. We are set free in Jesus Christ to walk lightly upon the earth. We are set free in Jesus Christ not to judge but to include, to be hospitable and welcoming. We are set free to use the abundance of the gifts God has given us. Not to be stingy, you know, to just sort of let our hands open and our minds open. We're set free for that. That sense of freedom from and freedom for just left me very peaceful. That peace which passes all our understanding. But you know what I'm talking about, I bet, when you're in the midst of it. It's very precious. You know, is there a way to create times of freedom and peace, maybe not 300 miles away from here, but like in your day-to-day? Like a parent, new parent, having to diaper and now caught into the blessed routine, but hard nevertheless of up at 3, up at 6, up whenever, you know? Or the freedom of in the midst of a very difficult job or putting your finishing touches on your PhD dissertation, or a freedom in the midst of whatever you're doing of the routine. I mean, that's not easy. It's not cheap and it's not easy. But how do we find it? How do we bring that little peace home with us? And by home, yeah, in your abode, but in your day to day. Because it's crucial. I really think it's crucial and powerful that you and I take little mini vacations in the midst of our routine. It is essential for your well-being to create space. I mean, Jesus, remember, was always running off into the hills to pray to his Abba. He needed it. He had to have it. When all you do is go from one task to another, it is harmful for your health. When there is no space to breathe, there is no time to pray, no time for solitude to listen, to get grounded, it's simply too easy to go off any which old way. As Lewis Carroll wrote in Alice of Wonderland, and I quote, "If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there." And the Cheshire Cat responds, "Oh, you can't help that. We're all mad here." Well, I feel this truth in my own life sometimes, and I see it so often in the lives of others. I don't know where I am going, and so all the options are out there, and you just sort of just grab, and you end up going nowhere. Feels like madness. But you see, I believe that the freedom in Christ, the peace of Christ, to be in alignment with Christ that is ours, is going to light the path and show the way. Not into madness, but into wholeness. But I do think we have to slow down in order to speed up. We need to pay attention. We need to listen. We need to stop. We may just need to be every once in a while. You know, even if you don't get away to the beach, it's of fundamental importance for you to be equipped with the vocation of vacation, the discipline of vacation. You see, vacating space to allow the Spirit of God to fill you, to stand free. Now, I think this is really important for the most active activists and social agitator and profound prophet, and for any parent. You got to get time to step away, for burnout is real, and when you are exhausted, you are no good to anyone. There is a reason why in the airplane they tell you to put your oxygen mask on first. A person always on the go, always on the edge, does not compel me to draw near, rather just the opposite. After a while, Energizer bunnies are a pain in the rear. But I was walking down the beach that day, feeling free and having my mind set on freedom. You know what came to mind? An image of a bicycle wheel. So if you could conjure that up with me a little bit. I imagine myself as a little sticky dot, placing myself on the outside of the wheel, outside of the tire. And of course, as the tire rotates, what happens to my dot? It's swept along in a constant cycle of ups and downs and ups and downs, and getting sort of crushed and then being elated. And I thought about my emotional and my spiritual life and how often it feels just like a series of ups and downs, feeling elated, then depressed, at one moment passive, another moment aggressive, at times the initiator, at times the receiver. It reminded me of that song from Mary Chapin Carpenter of about a decade ago entitled Bug. You remember that? She said, "Sometimes you're the windshield, and sometimes you're the bug. Sometimes you're the Louisville slugger. Sometimes you're the ball." How in the midst of the ups and downs, the bats and balls, the windshields and the bugs, do you keep your equilibrium, your sense of peace in the midst, the grounding that carries you through, the freedom in God to move, to hear that still, small voice of calm? You see, Christ sets you free for freedom. And Paul continues, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. The yoke of slavery includes, you see, those habits that put you in the cycle of instability. Paul writes, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So where do you sense the Spirit of the Lord? Are you making time to align yourself to the Spirit of the Lord? Are you listening to the Spirit of the Lord? Do you take time to breathe deeply the Spirit of the Lord, whether you're on vacation or in the midst of your routine? You see, you got to search out the Spirit. You got to create space for the Spirit. You got to go on vacation every day. I love that. So as you head back to school, as you head back to your autumn routines, as we head back to the 11 o'clock worship, it's all going to heat up. So what are you going to do? Well, I want you to cultivate space for the Spirit of the Lord. And it may mean a walk every day. It may mean listening to peaceful, beautiful music. It may mean an hour of reading. It may mean baking a loaf of bread. I hope it means the cultivation of the discipline of prayer. Stop doing and just be 15 minutes a day or 10 or 5 or one deep breath is going to help liberate you. Help you sort of expect nothing and begin to live frugally on surprise. The psalmist knows, be still and know that I am God. You live at your peril if you do not heed that wisdom. And I know that doesn't mean God's going to punish you. But rather, you're not going to be ready to see fully respond to the freedom of Christ if you are not cultivating that freedom in yourself. We cannot bring harmony to the universe if you do not have any harmony in your own being. You see, for people of faith, there can be no real outward social justice and social equity and fairness and freedom, I don't think, without a corresponding inward peace and inward equilibrium and inner freedom and inner strength. Think of that bicycle wheel again. I'm going to close with this. With that dot on the outside edge of the tire, now imagine removing it and placing that sticker on the hub where all the spokes come together in the center. So you end up arriving at the same place as the tire goes round and round, but the center always stays parallel to the path. You and I need to cultivate the center. It is the place of powerful living. You've got to find the freedom and the peace so you're enabled to live powerfully and love powerfully and enter more fully into this world and actually have something to say, something to give witness to. You see that peace which passes all our understanding, a peace and a freedom that's going to draw other people. It's there for you. You just have to vacate and create space. You got to go on vacation and bring a little piece of that vacation home. Amen.